Hey, what's up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Monday, May the 23rd, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have a wonderful show for you on today. On today. That's right. It's Missional Monday. And Missional Monday, yeah, that's what it is. It's Missional Monday. Today's topic of conversation is many churches, or why are many churches still living in the 1980s? Why are many churches still living in the 1980s? But as always, hey, look, it's going to be good. It's your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio, kicking it by myself. Can I kick it? Yes, I can. I am in the studio all by myself today. My brother is out doing that good pastoral thing that he has to do for the NOC. So I am in the studio, mono by myself today. That's it. Just me. All right. But you know what? Hey, the show must go on. So anyway, look, let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are listening already, meaning you've already dialed in, I see y'all already in there. Appreciate you. Already dialed in, you push one, and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, that's right, Blog Talk Radio. That's our home base. Simply dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. If you are on social media, that's where we are as well. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, and you can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, we're on Twitter. simply tweet the show. That's at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. If you want to email the show, that's easy to do as well. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. You can read, email us right there. We'd love to read those emails or Facebook posts or tweets over the air. If you want to watch the live simulcast, that's right. You can go to Ustream, Ustream.tv. Now, let me help y'all out. I know some of you all are on your mobile devices and you're like, well, I can't really get to the browser on Ustream. You can download the Ustream app. Just download the Ustream app. If you download the Ustream app, you can go there, and then once you get the app on your phone or on your pad or whatever it is you're using, go there, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and then just hit subscribe, and it'll take you right to our live broadcast and all of our other previous broadcasts as well. So, again, that's Ustream.tv, and then do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. And last but not least, you can catch us on iTunes. iTunes, that's right. The podcast is available on iTunes. The iTunes podcast is available. Simply go to the podcast section of your iTunes app and do a search for the podcast, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Hit the subscribe button. It will cost you absolutely nothing. That's right. It's free. That's right. The gospel is free. It has cost you absolutely nothing, and you'll be able to keep up with the show right then and there. And you can also send it. Hey, you can share. Like, if you hear something good, you can take that somebody else, and you can take that podcast and hit the share button and send that bad boy out. Tell your friends on Facebook, your friends on Twitter, your friends on Instagram, your friends on Snapchat. This is where they need to be, 90 minutes a day, right here on Taking the Limits Off. So, man, look, I am excited. First one is, man, I was excited about coming in today. But then, man, as you know, as always, life always tends to throw you a curveball, as they say. And got some bad news this morning. The passing of a very good, I would literally call her a friend, a very good friend. She had recently, we both recently celebrated some birthdays. I believe she celebrated her 94th. Or 95th birthday this past May, same day as mine, May the 5th, same day I celebrated my 46th birthday. That would be Mother Althena Pendleton. She passed away sometime this morning. And, man, you talk about a pillar in this church that houses our studio here at Kingdom Baptist Church. She was, I believe, what the mother's board epitomizes. She epitomizes what the mothers should be. For one, let me tell you this. This was a praying woman. She was a praying woman. She was an educator. She was an educator when it comes to Bible. That woman knew Bible. And I remember quite often she would always talk to me because we shared our birthdays. And she would always ask, you know, how you doing? And she every time she would see me, she was like, do you remember what I told you about the number five? And I said, yes, I do, Mother Pendleton. And she said that number five is the biblical number for grace in the Bible. Five is for grace. And the fact that we had two of them, the fifth month and the fifth day. Now, if that don't tell you something about grace, I don't know what else will. And so we got two of them. So that's a lot of grace. And God knows I need all of it. I need all the grace that he gives me. But I'm a little sad, but I'm also excited because it's about to be a party in heaven right now with Mother Pendleton being there, because Mother Pendleton was a. She was just amazing. She was amazing. And up until her health failed, she was still teaching. So we're talking about a Sunday school teacher who was still teaching at the age of 90. And I'm not talking about teaching and not knowing where she was or getting lost in thought or anything like that. I'm talking about teaching. Teaching where I don't care if you were a child or if you were an adult, you understood what it was she was teaching. She was an excellent Sunday school teacher. She was just an excellent biblical teacher. And I'd go so far to say is I guarantee you if her calling had been to preach. My God, if her calling had been to preach, I guarantee she would have walked in that thing. Absolutely, she would have walked in that thing. So I want to definitely send our prayers out to the Pendleton family, Deacon Terry Pendleton and the rest of his family. This is I know this is a loss for them, and as it would be for any, but definitely want to Yeah, it's one of those things. So we definitely want to keep them in our prayers. Amen. And also to my big sister, Sister Darlene Pullum, we celebrated her mother's life on Saturday. So we've lost in less than 2 weeks' time here at the church. We've lost two of our mothers on our mother's board in less than 2 weeks' time. So that's a great loss, but. It's our loss, but heaven's gain, and we'll take it from that, and we'll keep on doing the Lord's work. Amen. So look, y'all, you know we talk on this show, and okay, had to get that. I was trying to go on Facebook Live, but once again, this iPad is of the devil. That's all I'm gonna say to y'all. But. I was trying to go on live, but it ain't letting me go on for some reason. I wish y'all could see this on Ustream. If y'all can see this on Ustream, y'all see that picture jumping back and forth on there like that? I ain't never seen an iPad do that before in my whole black life. So anyway, okay, maybe it stopped. So y'all know we talk on this show, and I pretty much tell y'all pretty much, you know, just about everything that be going on and, you know, some stuff. So, you know, I figured, you know, since today, I'm in here by myself, I might as well, you know, just go ahead and, you know, share a little information with y'all. You know, we family. We can talk, right? We can talk. So, so look, y'all know it's this thing going around, I need the saints to go up in prayer right now. I just need y'all to pray for some misguided folk who are out here in the world right now. Just pray for them, y'all. We got some misguided folk out here, and I want y'all to just set up a prayer of intercession right now for the people. If the good cardinal was in here, I'd have to have him bless us with a prayer of intercession, but him ain't here, and I must tell you all what's going on, because prayer is needed all over the ether waves for these people. Somewhere down the line, I don't know if it was either Friday night or Saturday night, someone or some people on Facebook asked probably one of the most poignant questions of our time. Y'all ready? The question is, do you put salt or sugar on your grits? Salt or sugar on your grits? Now, I don't know what side of town you grew up on. I don't know what part of the country your ancestors were from. But we need to have a serious prayer of intercession for the people who put sugar on their grits. I mean, right now, Lord, we need you to step in right now, God, and fix this sugar problem. There are some people, Lord, all over the ether waves that are putting sweetener on their grits. Now, I've never been one to eat, what is that stuff called, cream of wheat. I ain't never ate it in my whole life. I've never been one to eat oatmeal in my whole life. It's not something that I've been a fan of. But everyone who I speak to about these cream of wheat and this oatmeal tells me that they put sugar on it. But grits require salt and butter and maybe a little black pepper if you're feeling that way. And if you're creative, a little sharp cheddar cheese. But what I want to talk about is these folk with this sugar on their grits. Can y'all help me understand? Can y'all help me understand? Now, I know y'all out here right now. If I was on live, I would go live. But y'all on Ustream, tell your people right now. Y'all need to come on. There is no reason on God's green earth that you would ever put sugar on a grit. First of all, I'd go so far as to say, you know what? Matter of fact, I thank you, God, right now, Lord, for the spirit of discernment. I believe that those of you who put sugar on your grits, y'all probably eating instant grits anyway, so them don't even count. I think the Lord is awesome. Y'all is probably eating them 5-minute Quaker instant grits. You know the ones in the blue box. Them ones, them 5 quick grits. You know, them quick ones. See, them ain't real grits. Mm-hmm. See, real grits come in that red box. You know the ones that take 35, 45 good minutes to cook. I mean, everybody knows that a real grit, huh? Come on now. See the saints. Thank you, Mama Priscilla. See, the saints is weighing in already on this thing. Ah, that's right. Who is that? That's Felicia. That's Felicia. Bless you, Felicia. Felicia says sugar is for coffee. Ah, come on now. See, she even sent me a Bible verse. I know I got some saints listening to the radio show. She said, "You are the salt of the earth." Ah, that's Matthew. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Salt and butter is from God. Sugar is not biblical. Amen, sister. Bless your. If I could send you an offering, I would. I ain't trying to hear none of it. Look, I just got a resignation notice. My producer just told me. See, I knew this was going to be some issues. My producer just told me she resigns from the show because she put sugar on her grits. I want y'all, just if y'all can, just touch your radio right now. Touch your computer. Touch your phone. Reach out. Reach your hand out. And we're going to pray for the executive producer, Sister LaTanya Melton, right now. Because she know not what she do. I just want y'all just to pray. Pray for her right now in her lostness with the grits. I just want y'all just to reach out. I just can't understand why. Y'all just reach your hands. Matter of fact, we're going to have a prayer of intercession for these people who put, I mean, you, why do you want sweet grits? Huh? That's like telling me you put salt. You know how silly that sounds? You putting sugar in your grits, you might well put salt in your milkshake. Come on now. Huh? Do you put Larry's seasoned salt in your milkshake? I just want to know, do you put salt? Do you put seasoned salt in your ice cream? I mean, because that's, I mean, that's, I'm just trying to tell you. You know, do you put salt in your, I mean, seriously, what you doing? What you doing? But see, I know why this happened. Can I take y'all back? Can I take y'all back a little bit? See, my mama's at work. She ain't listening at work. But she, if she was unable to call in to the radio show right now, she would tell y'all right now, this is where this come from. See, the same folk, let me watch this now, that put sugar on grits, watch this now, are the same people who eat rice for breakfast, watch out, and put sugar and butter on rice, but then will turn around for dinner and still put sugar and butter on their rice. I'm preaching right now. I'm trying to tell y'all, you just can't do it. Rice was made for gravy, just like grits was made for salt. I'm just trying to educate the people. I'm just trying. Okay. See. Now here go my other sister, Sister Jerry. Let me read this email. She said, "Dear Heart," she called me Dear Heart. Bless her. I miss you too. I miss you, sister. I miss you. She said, "There's nothing wrong." We gonna pray, y'all. She said, "There's nothing wrong with sugar on grits." She says, "I cook real grits and real oatmeal, and yes, my family loves sugar and butter on their grits." But watch this now. Watch how she gets redemption right here. She says, "But I personally don't care for it." That's what she said. That's what she said. She don't care for it. See, that's because you're anointed, Sister Jerry. We're going to pray for the rest of your household, though. We're going to pray for y'all. We're going to pray for the rest of y'all that you let them fall. I need you to just come on in. I just need you to come on, Jerry. Lay your hands on your people and tell them stop putting their sugar on their grits. That just ain't that. That's not biblical. That's not it. Just ain't it. Just that God didn't intend it that way. I don't believe he ever intended that. I am completely. What's the word that my good cardinal said? I am flummoxed. I am befuddled over the fact. And then I found out that this brother, he put sugar on his grit. Now. See. I'm at a loss. What is wrong? See, you know, there is something. See, I knew that there was something wrong in the city of Chicago. I believe if we could get this grit problem fixed, I can't understand it. You're right. The same people who put sugar on their grit probably put sugar in their spaghetti sauce. Probably put sugar in their I mean, come on now, y'all just don't. That's just not right. Where y'all peoples is from? That's what I want to know. Where y'all people from putting sugar on grits? I mean, that sounds like some. I mean, did y'all just get free? For real. Seriously, I'm talking to my black folk now. Did y'all just get free putting sugar on grits? I mean, did y'all just get off the Amistad talking about I'm putting sugar on my grits? This really upset me. Now, you know, in the summertime, you know, it's really, you know, grits is really like a cold weather meal. You know, breakfast, you can eat it any time now. I'm not trying to tell you when you can't. But I was real tempted to get up this morning and cook me some grits and videotape it for the whole world the proper way to cook a good grit, real grits. Once again, real grits with butter and salt, little cheese, little bacon. Little bacon. Gotta have a little bacon. And you gotta have that crunchy bacon so you can crumble it over. Now, could you just imagine? Now, who wants sweet bacon? See, think about this now. Think about this. See, this is where it get all messed up. Now, if you're gonna put some cheese and some bacon in your grits, and then you got nerve to put some sugar, who wants sweet bacon? What is that? Who does that? Y'all need prayer. Y'all have to give an account. I promise you got to give an account. You have to give an account when you get to the pearly gate. You know, guys, well, why did you put that sugar on them grits? You have to give an account. I just can't. I can't. Y'all done messed up my spirit. Y'all really have. I can't understand you sugar on grits eating people. Something ain't right. Y'all probably eat rice cakes too. Y'all probably eat rice cakes. That's what it is. Y'all probably eat rice cakes. And y'all know rice cakes is of the devil. I'm sorry. Y'all eat rice cakes. I just can't understand the sugar on the grits thing. But I appreciate my saints who chimed in on the email about this important topic that is just all over the place right now. And I appreciate y'all who chimed in on that. Please feel free if you feel like you got something to say. You want to call in, y'all know the number, 855. I take your call because this is important. 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. If you already on the line, you can push one and let me know how you feel about this thing because it's important. I know, and then I had some people put on my, because I started this last night on Facebook, and some folks put it up there. They said, I used to put sugar, but then like the prodigal son, they say they came to themselves. That's what she said, they came to themselves, and they no longer put sugar on their grit. Like the prodigal son, they learned not to put sugar on their grits. They come to themselves. It ain't nothing wrong. You might, everybody, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. That's just like folks who put water in their sweet potatoes to cook them. I ain't going to even side on that. See, we're going to let that go today. We ain't going to talk about that. But I'm just saying. I'm just trying to help y'all out. Just trying to help y'all out. It's a lot of folks. It's a lot of, really? Really? You calling in? Is that what you're doing? Let's see. Hold on. We got a caller here. I think I know who this is. Caller, you're on the air. Name, please. Caller. Guess she changed her mind. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you there? Let me come back. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, this is the former producer of TTLO Radio, but she quit, y'all, because she's on Team Sugar. Well, how can I help you, Miss Former Producer?
First of all, you dead wrong for being by yourself supporting salt and butter. That's it. I mean, there's nobody else to counteract that. Sugar is where it's at. Let it go. I mean, that's just the end of it. You'll be all right.
That's okay. We know your home training. We understand. It's all right. We're gonna pray for y'all. We're gonna pray for you. Hopefully.
Also, I want the listeners to know that, you know, they can apply for the TTLO position at Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. We're taking applications.
We are taking applications. And salt on your grits is a must in your references. Bless you. Bless you, Ms. Melton. We thank you so much for your call. This is a serious thing for me. I'm sorry. We come to the fork in the road. Y'all probably eat y'all grits with a spoon, too. I'm sure that's what you do. Y'all, see? See, grits ought to be just thick enough, not thick like hard, but thick enough that you can eat them with a fork. See, there's got to be some kind of consistency with the grits when you have them. And that sugar, see that, I mean, seriously now. I know we got folks still just chiming in, jumping on the line. The conversation right now, we're going to get to the article. But I'm really trying to understand these folk who put sugar on their grits. Where did this start? Is it different parts of the country where people do this? Is there something in the, did y'all drink Enfamil as children? Was it Similac? Was something wrong with the formula? I mean, what is the problem that y'all decided that grits required sugar? I just want to understand. I can't even read some of these text messages that I'm getting because they're not over-the-air friendly. Now, y'all got something to say, call in here and say it, but don't be sending me these doggone text messages. I'm just trying to help y'all out. Just I look here. This was an important. I'm just trying to help the people. That's my job. I sit here 3 days a week behind the microphone and try to help the peoples with their problem. And Chicago and the whole internet got a problem with the sugar. Now, y'all know what they say about sugar. Y'all know when y'all was little, somebody in y'all family would pass away or something would be sick, and your mom would say, well, they got sugar. See? That right there ought to make you want to stop putting sugar on your grill. If somebody told you that, well, you know, she got the sugar. What's wrong with him? He got the sugar. See, that is. You ought not put sugar on your grits. Sugar is for Kool-Aid. Huh? Sugar is for Kool-Aid. You put sugar in your coffee. Sugar, man, put sugar on your Frosted Flakes. My God, y'all just heard me say it. Yes, I did. I'm just trying to help you out. But it just don't belong in grits. It just don't go there. It's not a necessity. There's no need for it. I just want y'all just to, you know, do better. And y'all can do better. I'm gonna pray that y'all do better. We're gonna try to get this thing worked out. So yeah. So anyway, once again, feel free to email the show. That's takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. Let me know where you stand on this thing. I think I'm gonna put a poll up on the Ustream page. I'm gonna put a poll up. You know, is it you know, team salt or team sugar? I know where the real Christians are. The real Christians, my real saints, y'all use salt. My real saints, my folks that's still on the fence and ain't quite there yet, y'all probably put sugar on everything. Yeah, but can you imagine putting sugar on a pork chop? What's the difference? But I'm just saying, think about this. You got that good, nice plate or bowl with your grits and your butter sitting in there, and now you done crumbled up that nice, thick bacon, you know, that real thick bacon, not the one with the rind on it, because you can't chew that off if it's got grits and stuff, but that thick-cut bacon, it done crisped up real nice. And then you got your little nice handful of cheddar cheese to sprinkle over in there and mix up in there. And now it's perfect. And then you just get you a pinch of salt just over in there. But no, here you come with two and three. Somebody put on my page earlier, two, three teaspoons of sugar. What? My auntie, bless her heart, my auntie told me, she said, I put 2-3 spoonfuls of sugar in my grits. Now, see, that ain't even breakfast at that point. That sounds like some kind of dessert. Huh? No. The devil is a lie. In the words of Cardinal Henderson, loose here, foul demon, you cannot put that sugar on an anointed grit. I'm sorry. Now, if you eating them quick grits, them 5-minute grits, them microwave grits, you know what? Put as much sugar and honey and syrup and whatever else you want to put, jelly, all the sweets you want. But if you're talking about a good old white man on the box Quaker grit, you better just put you some salt on there. I promise you to change your life if you do it right. Your life will be changed if you change the way you eat your grit. Let's move on. We're going to take a break, y'all. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to move on and talk about some other stuff that's going on in the city. But we're going to take a real quick break. Man, look, I want y'all to just keep these folk in your prayers. oh, yeah. Also, if you know someone who can work in the capacity of an executive radio show producer, and they are a salt on the grit type person, have them send their resume to takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, please. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We're going to be right back. Look, y'all, I know it's Missional Monday and all of that, but I just feel it in my spirit because I think we need to do some. You know, sometimes they say pray. Sometimes you just need a breakthrough. And sometimes you can get a praise out. I'm just going to take a praise up for the people who need a breakthrough from this sugar demon that they got all over their life right now. We want to praise that they will be this sugar demon. I rebuke this sugar on grits demon that's going on right now. We're going to be right back, y'all. TTLO. Come on, y'all. My. Yes, shut up, Hobo Hosta. Y'all just don't know. I just feel, boy, that just, I hope, see, right then, I just felt in my spirit that somebody broke free from that sugar on the grits demon. I felt that in my spirit that right now we just released a whole bunch of folk just let go sugar right then and there. Y'all just don't know. I wish. These text messages just ain't right, y'all. Y'all just going all in. I done been called everything but a child of God on these text messages. Y'all is offended about this sugar. What? That's okay. That's all right. I'm gonna keep it. You can't do nothing about it. I'm just gonna try to check. You're gonna be all right. Y'all gonna be all right. Man, I just felt that in my spirit. Look, so anyway, I just wanted y'all to chime in. Let me know what you thought. And there's still time to get your vote. Right now, we got two votes and a half. We got two votes for salt and one vote for sugar. So I need you to come on, send me your email. Team, all you got to do is put in there Team Salt or Team Sugar. Send it in. Post it on Facebook. Send it in on Twitter. Do whatever you got to do. Just come on and bless us with whatever it is you have. I just want to know what's going on. I just want to know what's going on. Just do that. That's right. Somebody told me, they said, boy, you're stupid. I've been called a fool. I've been called stupid. I've been called everything. But you know what? Call me a child of God who put salt on his grits. That's right. Let's just keep it going. See, I'm saving this debate. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to let this one go. But see, you know we're about to hit the summer. The summertime about to be here. And then we're going to have this discussion. I'm going to bring this up again. You know, y'all put salt on watermelon. See, I can't. You know. That's a whole nother discussion. But we're going to talk. I'll say that. For the summertime, you know, we ain't quite there yet. You know, it's 84 degrees. What is this? Is it 80 right now? Yeah, it's like 80 and some change. Did we reach 80? Where we at? 70. Where we at here? We are at the nice, comfortable of 76. We right there now. We right there at 80. right at 80. So we coming. We coming to it. I just want to put that out there real quick. So look, man, over the weekend, I believe it was on, let me make sure I got the date right here. Where's that link? Thank you. It is, let's see. I believe it was on Sunday. Let me get the dates right. May 21st. And today is the what? 23rd? So this would have been Saturday. Yeah, this was Saturday. May 21st. Pastor John Hanna had this thing he called Praying on the Nine. And my God, over 4,000 people took over the South Side streets of Chicago. It was, man, they prayed east of the Dan Ryan from 11 until 12 noon on 79th Street. They were out there with their red shirts on, and I mean, it was absolutely amazing to see. If you haven't seen it, you can go and take a look at, go to Pastor John Hanna's Facebook page. You can go to, a lot of people were there, and, you know, they were out there with this whole thing. I mean, it's just, it was just amazing to see. And it was a good thing. And you know, he had a lot of people came over support. I saw Father Flager out there, who's always out on the front lines. I ain't going to talk about the camera prostitutes that were trying to get in on the picture as well. I ain't talking about that. But yeah, you know, I just want to, you know, but I want to put the emphasis back on what the goal was, and it was to talk about the violence, and to bring attention to the violence in the city, and to try and quash that. But it was good. Over 4,000 people were out on the streets on that day, on Saturday morning, and that, man, that it's absolutely awesome. 4,000 people. Let me say this: 4,000 people without incident. I need to make sure I put that part out there. They were out there without incident. Well, nobody out there arguing about this matters, that matters, blah, 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 blah. No, they were out there. They were out there. So, and it happens. It happens. It was good stuff. Good stuff. Also, on the west side of Chicago, I have to send a big shout out to Jody Beatty. George Jody Beatty over here on the west side of Chicago. He is all over the Alston and Garfield Park areas with his group, Stop the Violence, out there. Red shirts. I'm sure you've seen them if you've been in the city. You drive up any of our neighborhood urban community areas that have been notable hot spots. You see a big tent out there and some music and a bunch of folks with red T-shirts and signs saying Honk for Jesus. It's probably Beatty, and Jody is out there, and we had him on the show. We had him on the show. He's been on the show, and we will definitely have him on again. What? See, this is why I should not read text messages over while I'm on the air. Talking about some team nothing. I don't eat grits. We're gonna pray for your whole spirit is messed up. You don't even eat grits. So something what? Huh? We gonna put you on the sick and shut up list because you don't eat grits. What kind of mess? Pray for it, Lord. Pray for it. Anyway, but seriously, Jody Beatty is out there in the Chicagoland area, the West Side, and all parts of the West Side, the Austin and Garfield areas, where, you know, those are some of the worst areas in the city. And he's out there on the corners, on the hotspots. And this is what he does. He actually asks people. Email him, Facebook him, tell him where the hot spots are, and he will just show up. He will just show up. So, you know, you can't fault a brother like that who is not afraid to go to where the hot spots are. And I can tell you this, I'm sure, you know, the people who are running their quote-unquote illegal businesses are not happy to see him come up and pop his tent up because it messes with their, you know, business flow. But guess what? They'll get over it. They will get over it. This it's a necessity. It's a need. something that's definitely necessary in this city that we have to have. So I'm looking forward to seeing the majority. I'm looking forward to getting out there. Actually, come June, 100 blocks, 100 churches. We will be back out on the corners all throughout the city of Chicago. And actually, we have other districts involved now. Because let me say this, 100 blocks, 100 churches, the churches on the corner thing, that was started here in the 15th district. But now the 11th district and I believe the 25th are now going to be a part of this. So we can spread this thing out throughout the city. So starting the first Wednesday in June, we will be out on the corners. You'll see us in our bright red shirts out on the corners just talking to people. And the thing about it is this, and it's one of the things I learned, you learn this when you take classes on evangelism and when you work with real evangelists, you learn it's not about putting a track in people's hands. It's just about making conversation. And in that case, and this is not really an evangelistic move. So I don't even want to put evangelism on this. There's a time where you can evangelize, but the goal of this thing being out on the corner is just to talk to people, to find out what their mindset is. And it's not just to talk to the people who are tired of the violence. It's also to talk to the people who are committing the violence, because they have a voice as well. And you need to ask them, you know, what can be done to get you from where you currently are to where you need to be? What can we do? And the only way you do that is sitting and having some dialogue. And it's better that we talk to them one to one than waiting until they're behind bars and then we're all complaining about the fact that there's so many black men locked up in the prison system. Well, how many have you talked to before they went to prison? So, I think it's one of those things where we have to make sure that we're involved. And even if you're not, I would implore you, and I have to pull up Tanya, if you could do me a favor, grab Jody's, I think it's Jehovah Jireh 1 or something like that. Could you get his information and send that to me or post it on the Taking the Limits Off page so we can have people? Because I mean, it's a 501c3 organization, and they need money. Donate so he can keep doing what he's doing, because he's been out since the weather broke. A few weeks ago, he has been out on these corners 2 and 3 times a week. And it costs money, you know, to put up a tent. It costs money to run a generator. It costs money to buy signs. It costs money to buy T-shirts. It costs money to put, you know, he's out there giving away hot dogs and popcorn and soda, you know, to these people. Just talk, just so he can sit down and have a conversation. And it's not easy to do this out of your own pocket. And he does this out of his own pocket and for whatever donations he can get. So, it's definitely a worthy cause, I would suggest that you look into it. I'll get you his information in a minute as soon as she gives it to me. But I'm going to move on. Also, I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. Last night were the Billboard. What time is it? 12:44. OK, last night were the Billboard Music Awards. They were last night. And for some reason, I don't know, but I have my own suspicion. Madonna was asked. She was either asked or she volunteered to do the Prince tribute. Now, I don't know if you saw it. I'm sure if you Google it, you'll be able to watch it. I don't believe in ghosts. Let me say this right now. I've never believed in ghosts. I don't believe in hauntings. I don't believe in that. But if there was a time for a ghost, if there was a time for a haunting, Prince should have gotten up right then and shut the whole stage down, because the mess that Madonna was allowed to put forth over the national TV last night was a hot mess. Let me rephrase that. It wasn't just a hot mess. It was as bad as the water, 3-day-old hot dog water. I'm talking about it was as bad as the water after you wash your greens for the first time. Huh? It was terrible. And I mean terrible as in Charles Barkley, terrible. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrid. And I said, as musically inclined as Prince was, the genius that Prince was, this is how you contribute. This is how you pay tribute to him. A musical genius was paid tribute by Madonna. Now, they had Stevie Wonder up there. Yeah. They had Stevie Wonder up there. It didn't help. There was no saving it. It could not be saved. It was the worst. I have never. And I said to myself, all of the art, and forgive me, and I know y'all finna say, some of y'all gonna take this the wrong way, but all of the black artists living, y'all went and got Madonna to pay tribute to Prince? See, this is when black folk, this is when BET, that used to be Black Entertainment Television, now it's just, I need to think of a quick acronym, I almost said the wrong thing on the air. Now it's just Buffoon Entertainment TV. I'm going to say that one. That's clean. Buffoon. Buffoon Entertainment TV. But that's when we need our own stuff so that our artist, our talented artist, can get up there and perform some Prince. Where was Janelle Monáe? Huh? You couldn't have got Janelle Monáe and some other folk. You know, I ain't the biggest Beyoncé fan, but Beyoncé could have chipped in on some Prince. Now, I know Trey Songz, you know, destroyed the Prince song the last time he gave the thing. It was bad. So we weren't looking for him. But Madonna? Prince? Nah. Nah. You could have gave me Bruno Mars or anybody else could have got on stage and did, and man. I mean, it was horrid. Horrid. I was so disappointed. Mind you, I didn't watch it last night. I watched it today, this morning. I put it on the DVR and I just watched it and I saw all the comments and I said, well, let me see what they're talking about. And so then I watched it and I felt a tear well up in my eye because I said, this is just, this man, all of the music that this man, now I know y'all finna talk crazy because it's a Christian radio show. Get over yourself, you super Holy Ghost saints. Get over yourself. The man was a musical genius, and the least you could do, I mean, having Madonna give a tribute for Prince, that would have been, let me see how I can say this without getting myself in trouble, that would have been like when Walter Hawkins died, and let's say they would have let Bobby Jones do the tribute. I ain't talking about Bobby Jones and the Nashville Super Choir. I'm just talking about Bobby Jones. Could you imagine how that would have sounded? Huh? A mess. I mean, it just an absolute. I'm done. I've never seen anything that horrible in my life. It was disrespectful. That's what it was. It was disrespectful. I wish his half brothers and sisters who are currently trying to get this money would have came on, or somebody would have called in to Fox and said, "Please turn the cameras off." In the words of Bernie Mac, "Cut the camera off. Cut it off. Cut the camera off. I'm about to do something strange. Cut it off." This is why I should never be out in the studio by myself anymore, because y'all know I'm crazy. y'all know y'all. Just help me, help me, help me. I just can't. It was bad. It was really, really bad, and we just need to make sure we, you know. It was bad. I mean, there are some, let me say this. there are enough talented Anglo-American singers that could have done a better tribute than Madonna. Huh? I mean, think about it. There were a lot of them who could have done a much better tribute than Madonna. Madonna ain't did nothing since Vogue. What? I said it. Vogue. Y'all know the song. Strike a pose. She ain't did nothing since Vogue. I mean, seriously. So you go dig. I mean, really. You go dig up Madonna, you know, and because she ain't been in the spotlight, so she figured, let me go on, see if I can get some of this Prince shine on me. Where was the rest of his band? Couldn't his band had a got up and you know, I would have rather just heard. They could have put the New Power Generation, the Revolution. What was the last group? Them last girls, they could have put the all of them folks back to got together and did a, and let them do the tribute. At least they would have known the music. That's all I'm saying. At least they would have known the music, because that travesty that was allowed to go forth on yesterday, I mean, it was so bad. I probably would have put sugar on my grits had I watched it last night. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Oh, Lord. Okay, look, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Why are so many churches living in the 90s? Why are so many churches living in the 90s? We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yeah. We are back. So look, we have this great microphone right now. All right. Move that over there. Thank you. All right. We have this great article for today, and hopefully it'll be good. And this one, I saw this and I go, oh, this is going to be interesting. The conversation is real simple. Oh, thank you. See, even though she quitting and she a sugar eater, she's the best producer on the planet. She put the on. If you go to the TTLO Facebook page, the Jehovah Jireh Ministries is posted. That's where you can donate to. That's for Jody Beatty's group that's out on the in the city doing ministry work on the corners. It's Jehovah Jireh One. Jehovah Jireh. Now, don't ask me how to spell Jehovah Jireh. You ought to be in your Bible. You ought to be able to find it for yourself. But I'll spell it Jehovah Jireh and the number 1.org. But if you go to the Facebook page, you can find it there. It's right there for you. You go there, JehovahJireh1.org. You can go and you can donate 5, 10, whatever you can donate. And trust me, it helps. It helps. He works with a lot of young boys with activities and stuff like that to keep them off the street. And he keeps them involved because he goes and he grabs the ones that are on the street, and then he has them working for him doing ministry work on the street instead of what they would normally be doing. So check it out. Go to his website and check it out. It's good stuff. But anyway, let me jump into today's conversation. This should be good. Why are so many churches still living in the 1980s? This is a good article. So let me just jump right in, and we'll go. Hey, if you feel free to comment, you want to send us an email or anything like that, feel free to do that, and be glad to read that over the air. But here we go. The writer is this is by Tom Rainer, actually. Tom Rainer, very good Christian writer. If you're looking for good Christian material to read, just go to TomRainer.com. He writes for church leaders as well, but he has his own website, Tom Rainer. Last name is R A R-A-I-N-E-R, R-A-I-N-E-R, Rainer, Tom Rainer, T-H-O-M, T-H-O-M. But check him out. He's a very good Christian writer. And, you know, for people in leadership in their churches, it's very good information. You're talking about someone who's been involved with church and growing churches and ministry and building and planning churches, at giving advice as far as church consulting and stuff like that. He's absolutely one of the top ones. So you definitely want to read his material, add his reading stuff to your library. Go to his website and subscribe. You'll just get his stuff in your email every day. And you can pick and choose what you want to read and what you don't, but it's good stuff. But here we go. He says, 9 out of 10 churches in America are either declining or they are growing so slowly that they're not keeping up with the growth rate of the community in which they are located. He said, it's a long sentence. Read it again carefully. Soak it in. Across America, 90% of the churches are losing ground in their prospective communities. Most of them are declining. Many of them will close, the writer says. As I've worked with thousands of churches over the past 3 decades, I have noticed something fascinating yet disturbing about many of these churches. They are still acting like it's 1980. The world has passed them by. They are deemed irrelevant by members of their communities. Hell, some by members of the church. I'm sorry. They are frozen in a time warp. Why has this tragedy fallen on so many churches? Though I don't want to oversimplify the issue, I see at least 8 reasons for this crisis. Here we go. So, again, we're talking about why so many churches are living in the 80s. Number one, this is good. Man. They are trying to shelter themselves from culture. In the 1980s, congregations were typically part of the mainstream culture. They were accepted in most places and embraced in some. That is not the culture of today. Many church members use their churches as a getaway from the realities they don't want to face. Amen. Yeah, if I could say amen 10, 15 times, amen, amen, amen. This right here is 100% truth. Many church members use their churches as a getaway from the realities they don't want to face. Right. We would rather hide out in our churches than address the issues in our communities. We would rather hide out in our churches than address the political climate that's constantly changing. We would rather hide out in our churches than to address the atrocities that are going on in our federal government with these crazy laws they're passing. We would rather hide out and clap and praise God on Sunday and from Sunday to the following Sunday than to come out and do the real work in the community that's so desperately needed. Because he's right. The times have changed. In the 80s, mainstream churches were part of the culture. Like he said, we were accepted in most places and embraced in others. Now, because of the age of politics, because of the age of liberalism and everything else, church seems to be outdated and out of place in so many places. And why? Because we never continued to keep a footprint. We got so comfortable just coming and sitting and doing nothing that the community started to grow, and we never addressed those new people that were coming into the community. I've said this 100 times. There used to be a time where you couldn't open a business in a community if it was going to be without the church knowing about it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't come and just pop open a liquor store and the church down the street be like, hey, what you doing? What is this? You couldn't do it. It wasn't allowed. And because the church would come out and step out against it, the people would rally behind the church. But when the church sat silent and all these things started happening in the community and the community looked and said, well, where's the church? Well, if the church ain't saying nothing, then it must be all right. And then what happened? We sat quiet for 20 years. We sat quiet for 20 plus years. Let all this mess go forward outside, and then all of a sudden we got the unmitigated gall to step up and the audacity to step up and say, oh, hey, That's not right. Oh, really? It ain't been right. But where you been? Late to the party? Huh? Let's keep going. Number two. Again, we're talking about why so many churches are stuck in the 80s. Number two, programs. Ooh, Lord. Y'all pray. If y'all ain't praying for me, pray right now. Pray, please. Pray while I get through number two. Please, y'all. Pray that I get through number two. Programs were easy answers. The writer says the vast majority of churches in the 1980s were program driven. If there was a perceived need, they would order a resource that best solved that need. Many churches today still think they can get quick fixes from programs. Now, y'all might say, Dana, you need to stop talking about this, stop talking about that. I am reading the article that was written by Tom S. Rayner. He says, many churches today still think they can get quick fixes from programs. So you think you haven't addressed this issue ever, and now you late to the party. You think, well, you know, we'll put a program together and sell some chicken and, you know, have a good time in the Lord, and that'll be all we need to do. Really? Let me know how that work out for you. Matter of fact, let me know how that's working out for you. Because guess what? That dog don't hunt. Huh? That don't do nothing. We want to have a program for everything. Well, you know there's a pinky toe problem in the city of Chicago. Pinky toe. Oh, we can throw a program together for the pinky toe. Yes, I said it. Because that's just how stupid we can be sometimes when it comes to these dang on programs. We will put a program together. Oh, we need to do this and do that. Really. And then watch this. You don't even take the time to make sure that the program is at least, you know, put together in excellence. You just put it together. Because, oh, you know, if we, and then we'll try to, and then we'll tap a scripture. Well, you know, where two or three are gathered together. You think that make your program successful? See, here's how you judge a successful program. See, because see, in church, this is what we tend to do in the church house. We judge our program based on how many people show up first, by the numbers, right? Then, watch this. Then we judge our program by how much money we raised. Huh? Come on now. Y'all know I ain't lying. Don't get mad. By how much money we raised. And then, thirdly, we judge our program about how many folks, how many guests we get to come. You know, guests to perform and to show up and to speak and all of that. But watch this. How many folk come to Christ? That ain't part of the evaluation process. How many folks return after the fact when it ain't no program? That ain't part of the evaluation process. How effective the program is as far as ministry goes? That ain't a part of the evaluation process. So I ask the question, what's the purpose of your program? Or is it just to make each other feel good? Okay. Let's keep going. Once again, we're talking about why churches are stuck in the 80s. Number three, church largely catered to the needs of church members in the 1980s. Churches largely catered to the needs of church members in the 1980s. The writer says, we thus created a culture of membership that is me-driven. Many church members do not want to make the sacrifices necessary to reach our communities and culture today. They are demanding their own needs and preferences to be the priority of their churches. My God. Read this part again. Many church members do not want to make the sacrifices necessary to reach our community and culture today. Can I add to this See, now I'm reading the article. Now y'all can say, well, Dana, this ain't an article. Right. I'm going to take this one. Many church members, many church leaders do not want to make the sacrifices necessary to reach our community. And you say, well, what sacrifices are you talking about? Brother Minister, I'll tell you. We don't want to sacrifice our order of service so that people's time doesn't feel like it's wasted. We don't want to we don't want to recognize that what we've been doing in 2.5 to 3 hours on Sunday can be done more effectively and efficiently in probably 90 minutes. We don't want to sacrifice this quote-unquote non-spoken, non-written rule book about church dress code so that people who don't know any better, the unchurched, can feel comfortable when they walk in the building. It's hard enough to walk into some of these large buildings and feel welcomed. It's another thing to have the guts to walk in and then have to walk in and see the people and you feel underdressed. Or you feel like even if you do have on a suit, it ain't the right suit. You have on a dress, it ain't the right dress. And God forbid you join the church, my sister, with a dress on that's a little too short. Because somebody going to run out the back with a pair of curtains, with a set of curtains to drape over your knees because you sitting in the front of the church. I would be, see, let me tell you, this again was why my mama tell me, Dana, don't you pastor nobody's church. Because if I ever had a member, let me say this real quick. Probably going to, I'm going to lose some potential members right now. If I ever had a member to run up and throw a sheet over somebody who was joining the church fresh out the street, and you go throw a sheet on them when they go to sit down and say they're coming to Christ, I promise you this, I will walk out of the pulpit and take the same said sheet and throw it over you at that very moment. I promise you that. And we're going to pray for you because you need the sheet. You need to be covered up more than she do. Huh? Talk about it. Say I won't. Y'all know I'm. Y'all know I would do it. You know I would. That's once again, I can't go. Can't go. You want, well, you want, yeah, well, a brother walk down the aisle, and as he walking down the aisle, you run up to him, pull your pants up. Really? Really? That's what you want to run up and tell him to pull his pants up while he walking down the aisle, trying to come give his life to Christ, and the first word out of your mouth is pull his pants up. Well, deacon, how about I tell you, when you out doing stuff you ain't got no business doing in the midnight hour, how about you keep your pants up? Huh? Y'all know, y'all, pray for me. Help the preacher. Yeah, I mean, you see the silliness of this, right? You see the silliness of it? It makes absolutely no sense. We would rather keep our culture. We would rather keep our dead, antiquated, prehistoric culture than to make a few changes that don't take away from the Word of God now. You notice nothing that I said took away from the Word of God. But you would rather keep doing this same old mess. Talking about some women, you got to have your hair covered up before you, because you got to wear a hat to church or put some type of doily or this sheet or this napkin on top of your head in order for the Lord. What? Oh, my God, don't you wear no pants in the church house. Please give me the scripture. Somebody listening, I know I got some saints on the line. I got some saints listening. Could y'all please send me the scripture about the women don't wear the pants in church? Somebody send me the scripture. Because I'm sure the scripture where they say they don't wear the pants in church is right next to the one where it says drinking is a sin as well. So send me those two scriptures when you get a chance. I don't expect to be getting them no time soon, but I appreciate if you could send it to me because, you know, I don't know everything, but I know some things, and I know them ain't in there. But if you find it, it's possible. I've read the Bible 3 or 4 times, and I may have overlooked it. But if you happen to find it in there, my brothers and my sisters, help me out, please. Number four. Oh, my God. We're talking about why churches are stuck in or living in the 80s. Number four. Change was more incremental. Change was more incremental. If your church is stuck in the 1980s, it does not have to worry about the rapid pace of change today. Members can pretend like their church does not need to change despite the massive upheavals of change in the world. Yeah. Yeah. Because, see, we have a tendency to continue to come to church and do the same stuff we've been doing and act like the world around us has not changed. That's what we do. That's what we do. We have a tendency to act like the world has not changed around us. Even Jesus recognized what was going on in the world, and he taught as such. And then his disciples, the world changed while they were doing that ministry, and they acted as such. But we want to sit up and argue about what robe to wear and which hand to pass out communion with and which way to turn left and pivot right and all of this mess. The hell is that? Folks is dying, going to hell, and we talking about what color the choir got on and I don't want people looking like Skittles and all this other mess. You crazy as hell. Huh? I mean, that don't make no kind of sense. World going to hell in a handbasket, and we in the church arguing about, we should have bought more chicken. We wouldn't have ran out. Or we ran out of chicken on Men's Day. Or we didn't have enough spaghetti on Women's Day. What? Come on, somebody. Help me. Help me. I can't even understand. And then when all this stuff starts to happen, then we're shocked. We're outraged that this stuff happened. How you gonna be outraged? I put a post up on Facebook, I think it might have been 3 years ago, and I said this in my post. When the zookeeper leaves all of the doors unlocked to the cages, how can we then be upset or shocked that somebody got bit? We have left the communities powerless because we turned our backs, came in our big old sanctuaries and in our little storefronts, locked the big black gate in the front and said, we gonna lock the door and have a good Holy Ghost time. And then we go and we run to our cars and then drive back to our suburban homes or our city homes or wherever they are and act like whatever's going on there don't affect me. I just worship there. I don't serve there. Oh, my God. Watch this. Yeah, I said it. You worship there. You don't serve there. See, a lot of us come to church for worship. How many come to church to serve? Because you're supposed to serve in your community. And see, I've said this over and over again. The day that the community decides, you know how the community decides to march against the police for the police brutality and folks being shot? What's going to happen the day that the community turns around and starts to look at these churches in their community that do nothing and they start boycotting your church? Huh? What's going to happen when the community that your church sits in and say, hey, church, hey, pastor, we see y'all drive up in here every week. Y'all don't do nothing. Y'all don't speak. Y'all don't say nothing. Y'all don't offer nothing. You just come in here, you preach on Sunday, and that's it. You don't say hi. Matter of fact, preacher, I don't even know your name. But you come over here every week, and you sit up, and you have your service, and you do this, and you do that. But we don't know you. So how about this, preacher? We're going to protest your church. We're going to boycott your church because we don't think your church is good for our community. So we want you to get the hell out. Huh? Y'all going to get mad then, right? Now you're going to be claiming religious freedom and all this other mess. Huh? You free to leave. How about that? How about that? How about you free to get to stepping because you ain't done nothing? Huh? How about that? Let me move on. Ooh, Lord. I know. Y'all, this is why on days when I don't have nobody here, y'all all just send somebody. Just send somebody just to sit here. Because if somebody just sitting here, I have a tendency, because then they're going to talk, and then I can have a chance to catch my breath and calm down. But ain't nobody sitting here, so that it is what it is. Number six. We're talking about, once again, why many churches are still living in the 80s. Number six. Denominations provided solutions. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Why did we approve this article? Tanya, why did you say yes to this? You probably should have said no. This is not a, this. Denominations provided solutions. Number six, he says, not all churches in the 1980s belonged to a denomination, but many did. And many members expected the denominational organizations to guide them and resource them. Denominations work best today in partnership with churches. But too many church members want to return to the paradigm of the 1980s. Let me tell y'all how I feel about denominations. Let me ask y'all this question. And this is to my Bible reading saints. You know, my studying saints, my in the word saints. This is to them saints. What denomination was Jesus? I didn't hear no answer. Let me ask my studio audience. Studio audience, you know, I got all these empty chairs in here. What denomination was Paul? Huh? What denomination was Peter? Huh? What denomination was Silas? What denomination was Matthew? What denomination was James? I just want somebody to help me understand. I'll take it a step further. What denomination was John the Baptist? My God. What denomination were they? I ain't getting no answers. I ain't getting no answers from nobody nowhere, huh? I just want to know. I'm going to take the silence to mean that they were non-denominational. I'm going to take the silence to mean that they were just flat-foot Christian. They weren't Baptist. They weren't Methodist. They weren't Episcopalian. They weren't apostolic. They weren't Kojic. They weren't Church of God. They weren't Lutheran, they weren't Catholic, they weren't Muslim, they weren't Buddhist, they weren't Seventh-day Adventist, they weren't whatever. But yet these things we hold so tightly to, and it stunts our growth. Because we have to stick to some Baptist doctrine. We have to stick to some apostolic doctrine. We have to stick to some Church of God in Christ doctrine. Where do we get that from? Why put ourselves in a box? Jesus didn't just speak to the Jews. Salvation wasn't just for the Jews. It was for everybody. But yet you got some folks that's walking around telling Baptist folk they going to hell. I don't get it. But you want to know why your church is stuck in the 80s and why y'all ain't growing and why God won't send nobody to your church. I can tell you why he won't send nobody. God said, you know what? I got enough good churches. I ain't got to send them to that mess that you call church. Ooh, ooh. My God. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Let's keep going. Number seven, Number seven, others did evangelism for the members in the 1980s. The writer says, evangelism was the responsibility of the pastor or the denomination or a few people in a program. Church members paid others to do the work they were supposed to do. Oh, my Lord. Some church members today are more concerned about their worship style preference than lost people who need to hear the gospel. Let me say that again. The writer says, and Dana agrees, some church members today, let me rephrase, some church members and leaders, pastors, are more concerned about their worship style preference than lost people who need to hear the gospel. See, you're more concerned about what it looked like than what it sounds like. I can shout right there. You're more concerned about the appearance than what it actually is. See, you're more concerned about that I look like you than what my heart is. Because, see, we got folk walking around the church. We can have on our black robes. We can have on our choir robes and our usher uniforms. But on the inside, our hearts are broken and torn up. But you're so caught up in foolery that you are more concerned that we stand the right way and look the right way and turn the right way than what's going on in our hearts and in our homes. I don't give a two. Woo! Hey, somebody come in here and stop me. I don't care about that foolery. God don't care about that foolery. God is more concerned about the heart of his people than the clothes that they have on. God is more concerned about the heart of his people and the conditions of their spirit than he is about who decides what day you come in this way and we only gonna do communion this way and you got to read this covenant over here and this over here. That stuff don't mean a hill of beans to the Lord. The Lord is concerned about the hearts and the spirits of his people. I don't care if you don't like it. It's the truth. That's just what it is. And we spend a whole lot of time worried about the appearance. How about the fact that it appears that's all you care about? Run, tell that. I know you're listening. Run, tell it. How about the fact that it appears, perception is, that's all you know? Huh? I'm sick of it. At some point, the light got to come on. We're more concerned about numbers, quantity, than we are quality. Well, you know, it was 65, 70 folks showed up. Where they at now? That's like having let me give it to you like this. You have a grand opening of a restaurant. You know, it's grand opening. You put your best foot forward. And you put all this stuff out there, the best that you can do. And then you have a sold out event. So now you think, well, hey, I'm good. So now we come to the next week. You know, the grand opening is over. And now you really start to find out that people came because it was the grand opening, not because it was great. And instead of you finding out why they're not returning, you just plan another event. Say something. Huh? Instead of finding out why they don't come back and why they leave and why they're leaving in the droves and why they're not coming back, you just plan another event. We just going to go forward. I'm all for going forward. But the reason the rearview mirror is there to see where you came from and to see how differently you can do it the next time. But see, the problem is, instead of us looking at it, we say, well, we just need to see how we can get some folks in here. Huh? My goodness. Number eight, last one. Ooh, I'm so glad it's over because I probably wasn't going to make it. Number eight, some churches would rather die than get out of their comfort of their 1980s paradigm. I feel certain they will do just that. My God. I've told you all this a million times. I've told you all about my frog in the water, about boiling pot thing. But I saw this interesting thing on I was flipping through some channels, and I don't know if it was the Animal Planet or it was Discovery Channel, one of them. And they had a jar, and they caught some mosquitoes in a jar, and they put a lid over it, a piece of saran wrap, and the mosquitoes would fly up. I'm sorry, they were flies. Yeah, they would fly up to the top, and they would bounce off of the saran wrap and then go back into the bottom of the jar. And after about 30 minutes or so, they stopped hitting the top of the jar. So then, watch this. They took the saran wrap off the top of the jar. The flies didn't even make an attempt. They just kept flying to the same level that they were comfortable with. That's gonna hit somebody. They just kept at the level that they were comfortable with, even though the ceiling was off, even though there was nothing holding them back, but they had been conditioned to stay right where they were. That's what's wrong with us. We have been conditioned to stay right where we are. We ain't got to get no better. We tried that. We couldn't do it. And we ain't going to ever try it again. So this right here, this is our wheelhouse. Mediocre is what we're good at. And that's where we going to stay. Well, I stand here to tell you, guess what? That ain't God. That ain't what God put in you. God didn't do anything mediocre. God does not create mediocre. Mediocrity is a man-made word. Uh-huh. And it's a man-made deficiency that we put upon ourselves. And mediocre churches with mediocre leadership and mediocre offerings of service, it's time for you to either fly up or go ahead and dig your own ditch and bury yourself so that something new can come out the ground. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it's true. Some of y'all need to go ahead and stop praying and say, here lies this church. It was a good church for a few years, but then it died. And out of the ground, we hope comes something new. Look, y'all, it's been a wonderful, wonderful show. I'm sorry it got a little heated at the end, but you know how I am about certain stuff. Y'all pray for me. And we're going to do this. Father God, we thank you so much, God, for everything that you've done. God, we thank you for who you are in our lives, God. We thank you for your constant blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your unmerited favor. God, we thank you just for being God and God all by yourself. God, we just thank you for everything that you do. Now, God, we ask that you would give us a new vigor. God, we ask that you would give us a new zeal. We ask that you would give us new insight. God, we ask that you would give us fresh courage. Fresh courage. God, we ask that you would remove anything that is cowardly from out of your organizations right now, God. We ask that you would remove anything that is spineless from out of your organizations right now, God. We ask that you would put people in place, God, that have the vigor and the zeal to go out and do what it is you would have us to do, and that is reach the lost, God, and teach throughout all nations as you asked us to do. It is in your Son Jesus' name, hey God, that we ask this and pray this prayer. Amen. Hey, y'all. All right. It's time for me to go home. It's time for me to go home. My God. Oh, Lord. Man, I'm up here. I got hot. What's the temperature? It's sweating something. Man, is that. Okay. All right. It's time to go. It's been a good show. Hey, look, I appreciate all the emails. I even appreciate the mean text messages that I got about this sugar and the grit situation. But because of what happened, Salt won, because we didn't get no responses for sugar except for our producer. We're going to keep her in our prayer. But everybody else, Team Salt, We know what's right. We know what's good. Look, y'all, y'all stay blessed. We'll be back on Wisdom Wednesday. The good Cardinal Michael Bernard Henderson will be in the studio with us. And, hey, this might come up again. But until then, if you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. And may God be with you. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here. Peace.
Because anytime you sing about Jesus, how many of you know there's something about that name? There's something about that name. I want you to listen to it. Let's let the Lord bless us in this song.